Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And if Calvin Johnson winds up being the first ballot Hall of Famer, which he did, who's the guy who threw him all those footballs?
Live from Los Angeles, home of Super Bowl 56.
Earlier on the show,
ESPN broadcasting legend Chris Berman.
Still to come,
Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. Pro Football Hall of Famer Troy Aikman. Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson. Plus, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, hour number two on the Rich Eisen Show, right there. For anybody who might have missed hour number one, Chris Berman was here in studio. Deion Sanders called in as well. For those of you on our terrestrial radio feed who missed our end of our last hour on Peacock with Deion asking me a question about my personal life, I'm very glad you missed that.
We could tell him about it, though.
I don't know if we need to recount anything.
But, okay.
Deion is just my favorite. He's just, you know, and I say that about so many of my favorite. How many favorites can you have, Rich? I've got a lot of them.
Rich,
to the point where I just asked myself a question and answered it on the air. That's how we're rolling here in hour number two. You're so excited, TJ Jefferson. Troy Aikman's about to walk in here.
Man.
Now, you've never met him, right?
I've never, ever seen him. No.
And this is a guy who like will casually drop, you know, names like Ashton and Demi. You know, that multiple Demis, right?
His former roommates.
Okay, right. Whenever I bring up how many famous people you really know and you count as real friends, not like the Hollywood. This friend of mine, like you're lit, or not like Del Tufo, is what I'm saying. like real. You're really friends with these people. It gets awkward because you don't, because you're really friends with
people
them. You know,
who I have all their codes.
So,
is what you're saying.
But this and you're always cool as a cucumber. Troy Aikman being here though, I think is kind of in your kitchen a little bit. Like this is it.
I don't tend to get starstruck too much anymore.
Right.
Like it hasn't really happened since I saw Kadeem Hardison, the Man's Chinese Theater, back in like 1999.
TJ, don't lie, the first time you met me.
This is like at the peak of his different worldness?
I went to the Blade movie premiere in 1999. I went to Man's Chinese Theater. It was my first week in L.A., and I'm all excited, and I'm walking down Man's Chinese, and I see Kadeem Hardison. I'm a huge fan of Kadeem Hardison, you know, a different world. I grew up on that with the flip-up glasses. So I'm walking down 8 days in L.A., and I turn, and I see him. I'm like, yo, Kadeem! And he turns, he looks at me, he's like, do I know you? And I was like, nope. And I just kept walking to my street. So I don't think I've been starstruck since then. But
well,
this Troy
good
Aikman
for you. Good for you that good. The Kadeem Hardison of Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks is about to walk in. And then Dak Prescott. Or maybe he's the Kadeem Hardison of Dallas Cowboy
quarterbacks.
One's current and one is, you know, I mean, you're like T.O., you're crying over there over your quarterbacks.
Yeah, we had Staubach one year. Troy.
Now, look at him.
We just got to get Tony Romo and Danny White and then my entire life cycle of Cowboys quarterbacks.
What happened to Chad Hutchinson?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. That's a good
Quincy
point.
Carter doesn't
shout out
like
to Babe Loffenberg.
Quincy doesn't like the flame.
Shout out to Drew. Ryan Leaf's been in here, too.
Let's put it together. Here's a surprise for you. Dave Campo is here, everybody. Come on out, Dave.
Campo.
Dave, come on out. Dave. Well, no. He's not, nobody's. No.
By the way, you guys were wrong what you did to me this morning, too, by the way.
Which is what? To let you make you think that Troy came earlier and he.
The entire studio, I come in and they're waiting for me in the parking lot, like, hey, man, you didn't hear? Troy came in early. You missed him.
Troy had to do before the show and we were able to get him.
Yeah, sorry. We had to pre tape him. And, I guess moral of the story is get here on time.
I was early, though. I was earlier than I normally was.
That was easy for me to do. I mean, that was one thing. There was fruit, and it was hanging very low.
Very low. Set.
Normally, this is going to be exciting.
Well, Kadeem Hardison and Charles Woodson's coming in hour number three.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then Dak. And then Dakota.
Dakota Ray Prescott. That's my quarterback.
Dude, Dakota in this room on the same day as Troy Aikman. Good
He's
for you.
He's going to be crazy.
I want to thank you
The
for
only
this.
Thing that could be better. No, don't worry about it. The only thing that could be better for T.J. Jefferson. Troy Aikman in studio. Dak Prescott in studio. James Hardison. James Harden is a Philadelphia 76er by the end of the day.
And T.J. bids right on
the way, how about Woj tweeting out today?
Woj Bob.
By the way, I almost said James Hardison because you were talking about
Kadeem
Hardison.
Yeah, we picked up on it.
I've got Kadeem on the brain. How about Woj tweeting out that James Harden wants out?
Yep.
He really wants out, but he hasn't formally asked to be traded because he's afraid of the blowback that's now two straight teams he's demanded a trade from.
But the leaks are now creating the blowback.
But there's no blowback if it's leaked out everywhere.
Stupid.
I don't understand how that mindset would work. Like, telling that to the most listened to and tweeted member of the basketball media. Yeah, he wants out, but we haven't asked for it out because we're really concerned of how it's going to look. So go run tell that. And the thing I don't understand, and it's like, look, let's just say he really wants out because he really wants out, okay? But this time around, he didn't eat his way out, right?
No honey buns.
No honey buns.
So to James's team, he hasn't eaten his way out this time around.
No.
So this time, it's a different, even if he asked his way out this time, it's still different because he didn't then also try to eat his way out. Right?
True. So he's still in shape.
Right. Or he still has time. What, the trade deadline's in about, what, 4 or 5 hours or something like that?
Wouldn't it be like noon, Brockman?
I don't know. Sometime in the near future
I think it's
here.
Like 4 Eastern.
Yeah, 4 Eastern. So it's in a couple hours. He still has time to go all the way down to Philadelphia and just shout out. Those pretzels are so great on the street corner.
That is true.
What I mean? And they're also they're like a rock. Like you can hurt. They're thick.
Yeah.
They are. It really is it's the heaviest pretzel in the history of pretzels.
Yes.
Okay. These Philadelphia pretzels. He could eat like 10 of them and boom, he's a Sixer.
And have a Pat steak sandwich.
Well, he could make a video eating them. He could announce he wants out in a trade, demand his way out, eating the Philadelphia pretzels, and boom, he's a Sixer. And how about the fact that Sixers practice has been canceled? Now, normally that would mean, okay, the Sixers are getting ready to send somebody along. Problem is, for that, the main Sixer they'd send along
isn't there anyway.
Hasn't been there anyway.
So.
And then, of course, how about all of us assuming that Simmons, whatever issues he had with his mental health, will be fixed?
Suddenly gone? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's... And it's, so if that's the case, and we're all assuming that, does that mean we've all been part of this charade along with him in the media this entire time? And you know why we're holding back, and rightfully so, is because this is a serious issue. Glazer's book is top 20 in America because this is a serious issue. Mental health. Awareness. So, honestly, I kind of don't understand how we're working through all this.
Yeah, the quote Doc has is that it was, quote, the human thing to do to cancel practice today with all the rumors swirling.
So are you hearing anything about what's going on right there?
No, the latest from Chris Haynes is that he's reporting that the Nets and Sixers had talks involving James Harden this morning, but nothing concrete since then.
Well, the
Windhorst had this the other day, and then Woj said it wasn't happening, and then Woj came out this morning and said, you know, what we just discussed about James Harden, Not officially, demanding a trade because of how it would look optically, but he definitely wants out. Just make it. Just make the deal. Just make the deal.
Oh, I don't know if you... I
make the deal.
I honestly don't know.
Whatever it takes to get it done. Suddenly, if you make this move, Philadelphia is now at the top of the East Miami and Milwaukee. They're now contenders legitimately. They got the MVP in Joel Embiid right now, and you add a top 15 player in James Harden, and let's rock and roll if you're Philadelphia.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what this is. Seems to be the perfect opportunity to offload a guy who doesn't want to be there, although he's got issues apparently that he's working through. And one last thing is, if part of this, whatever Simmons didn't want to play Philadelphia for, with all due respect to Philadelphia sports fans, what is it going to be, patty cake with the fans in New York City?
Brooklyn.
And all of a sudden,
Brooklyn.
It's New York City.
I understand. I'm just talking about the way the fans are passionate about the Nets is not the same as how they feel about the Knicks.
I know that, but it's still, not for the faint of heart.
I mean, I hear you.
But word from Ramona Shelburne is that he's now fully vaccinated, which is what you clearly need to be if you're going to play for a team in New York City, as we all know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This whole thing makes so little sense, and then a lot of sense, and hopefully it'll end. We'll keep an eye on all that as the trade deadline is hitting in the middle of Super Bowl week. How about that? Now, one last item that's out there outside of the football world, and we'll go right back into it with Troy Aikman shortly here on our program, is I promised y'all that I wouldn't be going through the blow-by-blow of baseball and its lockout. I promised you I would save you from all that.
Did you just go Brian Kelly on us?
No, I'm away from my family right now. I promised every last one of you I would not go through the baseball issues in the lockout because it's awful, and I'll save you from all of that. But the commissioner of the Major League Baseball said there has been an agreement already, right, Chris? They've agreed on something? He's already made this announcement?
It seems like if a deal is going to get done, it will include a universal DH.
Oh, yes.
As a fan of American League Baseball, since 1976 when Chris Chambliss went yard against the Kansas City Royals, and watching all my Met fan friends, including you, TJ, and my brother, and all the purists saying baseball needs to have somebody be a total, complete sucking noise at the ninth position, meaning the eighth hitter is pitched to differently. So basically two spots in the lineup are pitched to differently, the eighth and then the ninth, because nobody's going to treat the ninth place hitter, who's an actual professional hitter, like they're treating a pitcher. But it's National League Baseball. This is the way it was done when Teddy Roosevelt, as a six-year-old, watched the funeral procession of Abraham Lincoln. Look it up. He did. That this is the way it's been done.
That's
yes. True. Look it up.
That's actually true.
Okay. Del Tufo is the Google on that, apparently.
So
it's because it's been done since that way, then we need to do it now in 2022. On behalf of everybody in the American League who's been fans and seeing the designated hitter, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be dynamite.
So good.
It's going to be great. I love that there's a universal DH. I love that the game's not going to be played differently in the World Series because of where the game is being played in National League and American League. We're already getting rid of the leagues to interleague baseball. I mean, and pour one out. Literally, I know you did.
Man.
You just poured one out on your laptop. So pour one out. Pour one out, folks.
Yeah.
Pour one out.
You're wrong, Rich.
For the warm-up zip-up jacket on pitchers. Warm-up zip-up jackets.
It was Max Fried,
right? Unless in National League games or American League games, you're down to your last. You don't have any other moves left, and you need somebody who's faster. You need a pinch runner.
Hey, the Mets will let DeGrom hit.
I mean, I don't know if you're going to need the warm-up zip-up jackets anymore. In pitchers who get on base, got to go run out there with a jacket. They should have put like a shawl on him or an Afghan like that my mother used to knit while watching MASH.
Like what Whitney Cummings wore the other day?
I don't know. I don't know. Again, baseball is an amazing advent because we take so many crazy things for granted. In the fact that managers dress like the players upon a time, like Connie Mack used to show up in a suit and then all of a sudden he's dressing like the players in the same way Bob Barker once had dark hair, showed up a gray haired man. Like, boom, where did that come?
Boom.
Okay.
Was he with 24 hours, Bob?
Exactly. Again, once upon a time, folks, NBA coaches used to dress like they were in an Armani showroom, and now they're dressed like schmoes going to the gym. Okay,
All right, now,
in baseball, yes, somebody decided. I don't know what it was. Maybe somebody was feeling a little cold. Probably was in San Francisco. Pitchers are out there. They're on base. They got on base. It's a miracle they got on base. Got to keep them warm. Got to keep them warm.
Get them a jacket.
Put on a jacket. Put on a jacket. It's honestly, you know what it is? Whoever was the first Jewish mother of a baseball team, that's what it was. Maybe it was in Brooklyn for the Dodgers.
Kofax's mom.
Sandy. Sandy, I watched the game. You're going to catch cold.
Wear a jacket.
Where are your gloves? Sandy. That's what it was. We found out. Brooklyn Dodgers. Sandy, you're gonna kill yourself.
And guys, don't forget how close we were to being called the Rich Kofax Show, too.
Oh, stop it.
Let's not forget that.
How dare you? As if Dion didn't disrespect me enough in hour one. Hey.
The Rich Kofax Show.
Pour one out. For the zip-up warm-up jackets on pitchers.
Do pitchers even take, do they bat ever if they don't need to anymore?
I can pitch it. There's someone I can actually hit, right?
DeGrom is my contact. I never bat.
Now DeGrom doesn't have to provide his own support.
Well, that means he might not score any runs when he's pitching.
That's
now,
a problem.
He has to knock his own runs in.
Unintended consequence of the universal DH.
Watch, DeGrom will play DH right at some point.
Okay,
Sixers-Nets update, guys. Yes. Sixers-Nets update. According to our good friend Frank Isola.
That's who I'm looking at right now, yeah.
Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, a first round, a second round pick is the Sixers' offer for James Harden. Nets are insisting on the inclusion of Matisse Thybulle. That is the holdup at the moment.
Matisse Thybulle, the Matisse Thybulle conundrum. Who the hell is Matisse Thybulle?
He is one of the best defenders in the league, Rich.
Oh, there we go. Wade Shams, 15 seconds ago, the Nets and Sixers finalizing a trade, sending James Harden to the Philadelphia 76ers.
There you go. TJ Jefferson.
I mean, today.
And here comes Troy Aikman.
Today, to quote Billy Corgan, today is the greatest day I've ever known. What is happening right now?
All right, let's
take
a break.
Let's go.
We'll call all the information and hit it when we come back. Troy Aikman, when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Pleased to have here on the Rich Eisen Show a Pro Football Hall of Famer and one of the best in the business at calling the games on Fox. He's called many Super Bowls. He's actually won Super Bowls, three of them. He also was kind enough to send me an influencer's box of his new 8 beer, which is great. But bad for the moment because I'm hammered doing this interview right now with Troy Aikman. How are you, Troy?
I'm doing great.
Congrats on the 8.
Thank you.
Beer, man.
Yeah, thank you. We're excited about it. Yeah.
I mean, it's really good.
It's really good. 2 years in the making. Never thought I'd be making my own beer, but met my now partners through a mutual friend, and off we went. Wanted to do a light beer, low-cal, low-carb beer, And what's different about 8 is, relative to any other light beer on the market, is that we have no adjuncts and no fillers. No corn, no rice, no syrup, no added sugars. And it's an all-malt light beer, and yet we're 90 calories and 2.6 carbs. And I don't feel that we sacrificed any flavor. And for a light beer, that's saying something. So I refer to it as a better-for-you beer, you can feel good. While you drink it.
And it's available where all beers can
be available in, just exclusive to Texas.
Okay.
Right now. It's currently in bars and restaurants, and then in the spring will be in the stores where you can buy a 6-pack, 12-pack, take it home. I hope we're having a conversation at some point about going beyond Texas. That means that things are going along pretty well.
Well, I mean, I have had it. It is very good, and I'm not really I'm more of a red wine drinker.
Yeah.
That's when Charles Woodson, hopefully he's going to bring some of his stuff later
I'm
on.
Sure he will.
I am really going to be hammered by the end of the show. This is going to be fantastic.
What a day we're having.
Beer and liquor never sicker, they said back in college. I heard that. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit of football here. You were the winning quarterback of the last Super Bowl here in Los Angeles, California. Here we go again.
Yeah.
You practiced at UCLA just like the Bengals did, right?
Sure did.
What was that like for
awesome.
You, man?
It was awesome because as much as you talk about how this game's just like any other game, it's not. It's just simply not, and you know it. You know it as soon as you win the NFC Championship game or the AFC Championship game. And for me, I was in my fourth year, and to be able to practice in familiar surroundings at UCLA, there on the practice field, a lot of the support staff that volunteered with the Cowboys that week were people that were there at UCLA with me, was fantastic. And then we played at the Rose Bowl, which is where I played my college game. So I feel like it gave me an advantage from the standpoint of just not getting too emotional about the game and too wrapped up in it to where I was just comfortable with what was going on. And that's a big deal, I think, in a game like this, especially for people handling the ball, the quarterbacks especially. And I've always liked the Super Bowl because I always like to see how those guys handle the emotion of it. But I think all of that kind of helped me in my preparation leading up to that game.
Well, I mean, we had Michael here the other day.
Of course you did.
We did. We had Michael here the other day. And he was talking about his practice and your practice at UCLA. He said on a Tuesday you practiced, and it was the greatest practice you guys had ever had. And he said this is what this was going to happen to the Bills.
Go ahead. We gonna spank that ass.
That's exactly what he said. Did you have a similar sensation? You might have verbalized it differently.
Yeah, I definitely verbalized it differently. I probably was not feeling quite as confident, but we did have a great week. We had a great week of practice. Not just one day. It was a great week. You just don't know. I mean, you literally don't know. So I think, to circle back to this game, that people say, hey, do the Bengals have a chance? Well, yeah, they have a chance. I think any team, when you get to the Super Bowl, has a chance, because even if on paper you look at it and you think, I don't know, can the Bengals block up these guys? What about this? What about that? Anything can happen. And you've seen it. I've seen it in a Super Bowl that you just don't know. The unexpected usually does occur. And it's anybody's guess what might happen.
Well, you had Burrow and the Bengals on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
just chatting with him and getting under the hood, did you get a sense of the it factor that everybody keeps talking about?
100%. 100%. I watched him, studied him a little bit coming out of college, liked him. But my assessment of him would be what anyone's assessment is. Hey, the guy makes good throws. He handles pressure pretty well. You know, I mean, when you watch film, it's not hard to see who can play and who can't play. But I really think the differentiator between quarterbacks, there's guys who get, you know, when you take a guy in the first round, it's a flip of a coin as to whether or not that guy's going to go on and become the guy that you hoped that he would when you drafted him. And there's a lot of factors that go into that beyond the player's control, coaching and, of course, good players and all of that. But what the player does control, or what he at least possesses, I think is the intangibles that makes a difference. I really do. Can you find that when you just sit in a room with a guy? Do you know when you sit in a room with Joe Burrow before he's ever taken an NFL snap that he has that it factor? I don't know. I've asked personnel guys that. When I talk to these guys, you can usually tell right away, you know, they've already got a resume. So I'm not the one who's drafting them. But with Burrow, I know when we talked with him, and you see it now in his interviews, he's got an edge that you know this guy's he's a competitor, he's a killer as far as how he competes. And I like everything about him, and it's obvious that he galvanizes that team. And they love playing for him. And those qualities, I think, are paramount if you're going to be a championship quarterback.
And what do you think's going through Stafford's head, Troy Aikman, right now? Thursday before the big game, he's finally
How good is that?
The questions about, well, is it Detroit or is it him? Or is it a combination of both? And now he was 0-3 in his playoffs for his entire career. He's 3-0 just this playoffs alone. What do you think's going through his temples right now?
I know we talked to him week three, I believe it was. They were getting ready to host the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, hey, how's it been for you with the Rams? And he said, you know, and he loved being with the Lions. Sure. He wanted to turn that program around. You know, he loved his time there, I know. He wished they'd had more success.
Well, but he put in his time there.
He absolutely did. He said, you know, this was week three of this year. He said, this is what I always envisioned the NFL being. And it was such a great line, and you think of all the players who, great players, who have been relevated to, you know, basically being on these teams that aren't that good. And and then for him to come to the Rams, and now he's in the Super Bowl, I can only imagine what he's thinking now. If he thought that this is what I always imagined the NFL being week three, how's he feeling now? But enormous pressure on him, as we know, and on this team to get to where they are. And yet, here they are. So, I've known Matthew a long time. He grew up where I now live in Dallas and won a state title there with the high school. But for him to meet all expectations, that just doesn't happen very often. So, I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the Rams and what they've been able to do. And maybe they can finish it off.
He's played mistake-free football pretty much. I know that.
Well, and the other part of that, Rich, is I will say that what – you know, there were those things. Hey, he hadn't won a playoff game, like you alluded to a minute ago. He hasn't beaten his record against teams with 500 records. All of that stuff, and it was out there. And if you retire that way, that's the narrative. That's what they're saying about you. And yet now he's doing what I was able to do. He's got good players around him, right? Mm-hmm. And when you have good players around you and you have good coaching, you tend to beat a lot of those 500 teams, and you tend to win a lot of playoff games. And he's been able to do that, and I've been thrilled to see it happen for
Hall of Famer Troy Aikman here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I'm going to ask the question about the Cowboys, and it's an infused way of asking it. Okay. I'm just coming straight through the front door with you. But I think it's an appropriate way to ask is, what's missing? What is missing with the Cowboys?
Yeah, so that is the million-dollar question that I get asked, and I honestly don't know. There was a time where I thought maybe I did know, but I think when you take a year like this, for instance, and they had a great year, and they are as talented as any team in football, and as someone who gets a chance to see a lot of these teams because of the Thursday night schedule and the Sunday package, that I'd put their roster up against anyone's, and they played great. They didn't play as well down the stretch, and then you go into the postseason and you just don't play your best football. But this isn't the first time that's happened. They've been the number one seed in other years and failed to get out of the first round. And so what is keeping it's hard to imagine in a league when you see teams like Cincinnati and like Jacksonville a few years ago, and others that you can point to. And yet for the Cowboys for 25 years, they haven't even made it to an NFC championship game. It's hard to believe, because when you look at their regular season record over the last 10 or 15 years, you know, they're one of the best in the league as far as their winning percentage. So I don't know. I really don't know, but I do know this. Heartbreaking for that organization and for Jerry Jones to have the team that they had, and pretty healthy when they went into the postseason, and not to get out of the first round, really defeating. And it makes for a long offseason, makes for another long season in 22, because this is a team, fairly or unfairly, they're going to be judged on what they do in the postseason.
Well, I mean, again, we have Dak coming in here in about an hour, and, you know, clearly he had a remarkable season based on of the way his previous season ended. But the way the game ended, it just seems like, can you point the finger at the coaching staff, do you think, here? Or is it something that's unfair to do because circumstances
happen? I think it's unfair. I think that as far as the last play goes, I mean, there's a lot of opinions on that, of course. And I know that Mike McCarthy has defended the decision. And I don't necessarily disagree with the call. But when you run that play, you 100% have to get off another play into the end zone. Mm-hmm. And when that doesn't happen, for whatever reason, if it was the officiating, if it was that Dak went too far or when he ran, it doesn't matter. In that sense, then it was a bad call. And I think you have to just own up to that. If you don't get a shot into the end zone when you're already in a position to take a shot into the end zone. But it's tough. It's really tough. But I don't blame the coaching. I think that's the easy out. I think that's what people do. I think overall, I think they're a very well coached team, and just didn't happen for him.
Well, I guess, and the good thing is that everybody's back on the coaching staff, right? That Kellen Moore didn't get a gig, and Dan Quinn was shopping around and then came back.
Yeah.
And then you might have missed it while you were making your beer and launching your eighth lager, available in Texas and hopefully everywhere else soon, that there was a, there you go, right there, right next to you, that there was an article on DallasCowboys.com of Jerry flat out talking about Dan Quinn coming back, and he's head coaching material, and Sean Payton was on the staff before, and everybody knew at the time that he could be a head coach, and Jason Garrett, and he's talking about Dan Quinn being head coaching material. And, well, what about Mike McCarthy? And his answer was, well, Mike knows that someday he won't be the Dallas Cowboys head coach. And it's just like,
or does he?
Now I guess he does, you know, like, what's up with that? You know, I mean, that sounds like, I don't understand that one. Do you?
Yeah, what we do know is this, is that Jerry is really smart. You know, I mean, he's a really smart guy. And so I don't, you know, and at times, as we know, sometimes he'll shoot from the hip. But I think that, you know, in those comments, I think he had time to really reflect and know what he wanted to convey and how he wanted to say it. So for there not to be more support, there had to be a reason behind that.
Yeah.
Is that to, you know, warm up the seat a little bit and motivate? I don't know, but a little unconventional.
It definitely is. There's no question about all that. So what do you think? A few minutes left here with Troy Aikman. Again, 8 Beer is available in Texas, and there's 8beer.com for more information for you to see how you can get it. So what do you make, Troy Aikman, of Tom Brady retiring and then 6 days later on his podcast saying never say never?
Oh, I think I would have answered it the same way. I don't make anything of it. I mean, I doubt that Tom's going to come back. But we have seen him miss an entire offseason before when he was in New England, and then they went on and I think they won the Super Bowl that year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not outside the realm for him to maybe come back, but I don't think that's his intentions. But I understand that.
What do you mean you would have said the same thing?
I just think that for if somebody's asked, hey, do you think you'll ever come back? I do believe in the theory that, yeah, I think there's always a chance you might do something, you know, so why totally close the door on it, even though in all likelihood you're done? I would be surprised if Tom came back and played, but I think for him to answer it that way, I don't think should have, you know, sounded the alarms maybe the way that it did. I reached out to him. I've really enjoyed him being with the Bucks, because with them being in the NFC, I got a chance to see him a lot, got a chance to talk to him a lot, and got to know him a lot better than I did. And selfishly, I hate that he retired. And I probably speak for a lot of football fans out there because he's playing so great. But it is such a commitment. I mean, forget what he's missed out on with the family, because you do miss out on quite a bit. But putting your body through that at 44 years old, I don't think people understand what he had to do during the week in order to get ready to play the next game. It's not easy. It was hard for me, and I was 34. Now, it was a different game. Guys got hit a little bit differently. But still, at 44, that's hard. I mean, really hard. But I was hoping selfishly he'd play another year. I knew 45 is what he mentioned that he wanted to play to. And the great year that he had this year, I just figured Tom's a guy who, when he sets goals, he achieves them. I really thought he would come back and play another year. But we all knew it was going to end at some point. But, man, what a – you can't even put in perspective what his career has been. There needs to be something named after him. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it looks like. But there needs to be something significant within the NFL that reflects on what he contributed to our game. Because I really don't think – And I really don't think anyone represented our game better or represented themselves better than Tom Brady. And I've told him that, and I've said it to a lot of people, and I really believe that.
Well, I mean, guy won three out of his first four, right? And that's where we're already saying if Burrow wins here, then he's on pace, and we're going to be looking at every kid who comes out. Can he catch Tom?
This whole pace, that thing about pace is, you know, a little crazy. In week two, they'll say this person's on pace to you know, have, you know, 4,000 yards receiving. I you know, pace is a little bit overrated, but yeah, I think that when people start trying to put into perspective somebody at a young age achieving what I know records are made to be broken and all that, and we don't think there was going to be another Michael Jordan, and maybe there still hasn't been,
right?
You know, and all that. I can't imagine anyone ever doing what Tom Brady has done,
because as much as what I just mentioned about on pace, and we heard it last year with Mahomes, right? And if Mahomes beats Brady, then he's one step closer. You still have to potentially, most likely, win four after turning 37. And the most remarkable, like you say, how do you put it in perspective? The one way to put it close enough in perspective about Brady is that you and I and all of us are shocked and disappointed a 44-year-old retired.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh my gosh. I mean, the last touchdown pass he threw was over Jalen Ramsey in an NFC divisional game with a game on the line, and he needed to throw it. And yes, that's a Hall of Famer he's throwing to in Evans, but it was perfect. And he led the league in everything. He's amazing.
In everything.
Unreal.
And he, you know, what he proved in Tampa is, yes, he had great coaching, and I'm a huge Bill Belichick fan, and how can you not be, and the greatest coach ever. And, you know, he had a great support group around him in New England to flourish. But when he goes to Tampa and did what he did, it really put an exclamation mark on just exactly, if anyone doubted his contributions, mm-hmm. or could have another quarterback done what he did in New England, the answer is no. I mean, he elevates players around him. He's competitive beyond anything you can imagine. There's not a guy, this is the remarkable thing, especially as he's gotten older, I don't think there's a guy who's ever shared a locker room with him that doesn't feel like they have a personal relationship with him. And I can tell you, that's hard. It's hard to do. But Tom makes it a priority for him, and he's a great guy. He's a great father. He's a great quarterback. He just exudes excellence, and I'm really proud of him.
Yeah, one way to tell if somebody played with him is they refer to him as Tommy. You know, like most of us refer to him as Tom.
Well, his dad does, because his dad, he's Tom Brady. He's the Tom Brady. Right?
His dad's so damn proud. All right, Troy Aikman. So Collinsworth's calling the Super Bowl. You called your first Super Bowls together, right?
We did. Yeah, in Jacksonville. We called New England, Philadelphia. Yeah,
that was Joe's first.
Joe's first, yours? Yeah, our third year together.
Right.
And then we've got Fox has two of the next three Super Bowls after this one.
Okay.
So.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
How many of them are you going to call?
I should know here in another week or two.
Okay. will we know if 8 Beer is available on Amazon Prime? That's one way to sell this thing.
Is one way to sell it. That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? If it was available on
just
Amazon.
Throwing them out there.
Yeah.
I
like the way you're thinking right now.
I'm all about the branding. You know?
Me too.
Trust me.
Me too. Can you?
Because I saw that.
I'm all about the branding.
Honestly,
too.
You know, for anybody here, hold on for a second. So when I first got this, I'm like, what are the blue squares for? And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's the holes in the H.
Yes.
I'm like, okay.
So I explain that to some people because I'm always afraid. Do I mention it? Do I tell them kind of?
And
when I sometimes I say, you know, the logo is really a colon, but on a white can, it then forms the number 8. And they're like, well, yeah, of course. You know, like I'm an idiot. For, like, what else does it, you know? And then other times I say, and they're like, yeah. Oh,
well, so. you can tell I really tried your beer and liked it because I just flat out said it. Just so you know, the people who haven't tried your beer or really aren't into it, they'll go higher register. Like, yeah, it's a good beer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll go up there. That's the way to
say. They'll go higher octave. They'll go,
say, yeah, you know, yeah, hey, you make a good beer.
Yeah. I like
you
that.
Know, so that's the way to tell. Okay. I just flat out said, I really like your beer, man.
Awesome.
And I'm not that much of a beer drinker, but yeah. I really, really like
it. I'm proud of it.
You should be. 8beer.com. Everybody check it out. At Troy Aikman on Twitter and Instagram. I follow. You should as well. Great to see you.
Good to see you, buddy.
Enjoy your time in L.A., back here in L.A. Troy Aikman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Still to come on this program in studio, none other than Charles Woodson. And after him, the current Cowboys quarterback, Dak Prescott. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit. Charles Woodson is here chopping up the trade of James Harden to Philadelphia, and Ben Simmons and Seth Curry and Andre Drummond and picks going to Brooklyn. That, you know, if all of a sudden Simmons shows up like, hey, I'm ready to play basketball. It's like, well, what was the mental health about, Ben? You know, and so the first reaction that he's still working with a therapist, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of pleased to hear that, because the last thing I want to do is have anybody ever look at somebody and say, what's that mental health about?
Yeah, but then if you come back and you're inserted right into the lineup, how do you explain it?
Exactly. You can't.
That's the thing. Like, we're all sympathetic. I don't know what he's going through. You know, the two things you don't know, it's what's going on in the man's head and what's going on in his house.
Right.
But if you come back and immediately you're playing, you got to kind of explain what was going on for the first half of the season. Why couldn't you come back and play? Like, that's the gray area that we're dealing with right now.
So and everyone was just assuming it was whatever was going on in Philadelphia, and that might have lent to it. And now he's going to New York, which, you know, it's not for the wallflowers.
It doesn't get easier.
It does not. The good thing is that, whereas in Philadelphia at times it's like he's got to be the one to make the shots. Now he doesn't. Now he can actually fill the role. And he was, he's an extremely talented kid. Well, as you point out, it could be Seth Curry that could be the key to this deal.
Well, and then on the flip side, he wasn't taking shots in Philly. But now you get a guy who takes some shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't as dominant in Brooklyn as he was in Houston in his stop before that. But James Harden is a guy that he can take over a game. And I just think that's what they're looking for in that position from an offensive side. Now, he's not going to give you that same defense that Ben Simmons will give you. But offensively, you pair a guy up with Embiid, who is by all accounts, you know, from what I hear and what I watch, he's like, he's the MVP of the league.
That's what we were talking about here on this show. Right, TJ? He's the MVP of the Philadelphia 76ers, not the league.
It right, now.
Right, I know. Yeah.
With no help.
So. He's unstoppable.
And Seth Curry is no longer on Doc Rivers' team, huh, Chris?
And he might. And Thanksgiving is going to be
no longer on the Christmas wish list.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is going to be very awkward for them.
Is Doc's son-in-law?
But Doc's already traded his actual own son.
Yeah, so
in Los Angeles.
In all fairness, Seth should have seen this coming because Doc has traded his own son.
Right, his son. Doc has now been part of a trade of his son and son-in-law. Does he have anybody else that he could trade?
Nothing is sacred. Nah, I don't know.
Well, that's a heck of a Thanksgiving table, right?
Well, could you imagine all of them together today, and all of a sudden this comes across the ticker, and everybody's looking at each other like, you did this to me.
How Daryl Morey must be out of his mind excited right now.
Feels like it.
Because
like
they could have just cut out the Brooklyn middleman last year, right? Am I wrong?
Because he didn't want to trade Ben Simmons at the time.
Well, I mean, it may not have been him. Could have been somebody else, but he held on. He stood pat the entire time.
Yeah.
Now, hey, look. Now it's also on Harden.
Yep.
Right.
Got to show and prove.
It's now. This is like how many more times has this man been acquired by a team? Can a man be acquired by a team by saying missing piece, championship, and then not at all? Right.
And then basically force your way out to another team.
Right.
You know, but once you get there, what are you going to do?
Well, at least he didn't eat his way out of this one, right? I did say that.
You did.
Fat suit.
I did say that.
We think that he was just layered up for that one picture.
I think what do you mean? But it just looked like he was.
What are you talking about?
Well, remember that picture before he got traded to Brooklyn? It looked like he put on about 30, and then like 3 days later, it was like, wait a second.
Gone. It's gone.
Where'd all the weight go?
Are you cool TJ Jefferson, Chris Brockman? By the way, 2/3 of the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast were all podcasts.
But we talked all about this.
You're welcome to be a guest, Charles Woodson.
You were saying to Charles Woodson here that you believe at one point James Harden was so wanting out of Houston, he put on an actual fat suit for a game and played in a fat suit for
Is that what you're saying? No, not a fat suit.
I think he's now ruling it out.
Like Nutty Professor. Like Eddie Murphy and the Nutty Professor.
I think he layered up, though.
He's not ruling it out. No.
Like Mike Myers and...
Right?
Get in my belly.
Right.
I don't know if we can say that on TV.
So, Charles, you believe that this... You said how you feel this trade is going to affect the Nets. What about the Sixers? How do you see this?
That's what I was saying. I think with Harden, you know, we always talk about having, you know, a big three. But I think in terms of Harden and Embiid together, like, that's enough, you know, of a duo, you know, to really cause damage if you get the Harden that will go and take over a game. Because we really hadn't seen, you know, the Harden, you know, that we used to see prior to going to Brooklyn, like really taking over games. And then, you know, with him, I mean, got the hamstring, you know, he forced his way out, right? But so is he healthy? Is he going to be able to play down the stretch?
We just established he's a man who looked fat one day and then was an all-star the next.
That's not good for your hammies.
It's not good for your hammies. You know, has there ever been a team that averages on a nightly basis a third to maybe 40% of their points from the free throw line? Because
between Embiid and Harden now? Yeah.
Are there two guys who get to the line more in the NBA than these two guys? I mean, Embiid, like, over his stretch in January, he averaged like 15, 20 made free throws a night.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I guess everything was going through him and he's playing Orlando, and it was no offense because I know that's, you know, your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, me too.
And if the basketball gods smile upon us, first round matchup, Sixers and Nets, if there is a way that we can make this happen.
First round? Nah.
I don't know. The Nets won't fall into the play-in,
Nets,
right?
Like seven now?
Nets won't fall in the play-in, and then the Nets get in the play-in and wind up, you know, and the Heat are the one seed, so it's not like, you know, the Sixers are guaranteed to be the one.
Yeah, the top six teams in the East decided by four games separate them.
Right.
Brooklyn currently eighth.
There you go. Why not?
Brooklyn's at eight now.
Yeah.
So why can't...
I mean, there's only five games separating one from...
So it all gets ordered.
They've lost nine in a row.
Nine in a row.
Right. So Brooklyn gets its act together. Let's just say maybe gets up to the sixth seed. And the Sixers, based on all the ordering, wind up in the three seed. Three versus six. Here we go.
76ers.
Do you want it right off the bat, though?
Why not?
First round?
Oh, pieces. I like my steak served first up.
76ers started the day 13-1 to win the title, now 7-1.
I want it paired with paired with the Intercept wine. That's why I like
Intercept
my steak.
Wine. What a lovely plug.
The tougher the opponent, the more you need a game plan. BioNTech and Pfizer remind you to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. So, hour number three. Your conversation with, we were expected to have you. We appreciate you sitting down nice and early.
Yep.
And Dak Prescott in studio, hour number three. That's the way we're rolling here on the Rich Eisen Show.